Wake up! Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You are now listening to UMES 30. I am your host, Dr. Joshua K. Wright. I realize that you could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're listening to me, and I sincerely appreciate that. Let me begin by thanking Gerald Weston, Dr. Catherine Barry Gaines, Mr. Brian Daniels, and everyone at WESM who made this show possible. I'm new to the radio industry, so this is a very huge honor for me. I'm an associate professor of history and a coordinator of the Social Studies Teacher Education Program at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, where I have some of the best students. In addition to my teaching duties at the university, better known as UMES, I'm also an author. This summer I published my very first book, Empire and Black Images in Popular Culture. If you're a fan of that TV show, you should definitely check the book out. Copies are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. From 2016 to earlier this year, I was a contributor to Abernathy Magazine, and I'm currently working on an article for ESPN's website, The Undefeated. I'm a native of the Washington, D.C. area, proud graduate of DeMatha Catholic High School, Loyola University, George Washington University, as well as Howard University. UMES 30 is a new talk show that will air on Sunday mornings at 11. I'll be bringing you lively, thought-provoking discussions on a variety of topics. Each show will feature an extended conversation with a guest. While many of these individuals will come from UMES and the local community, I will also feature several guests from around the country. Today we have two incredible guests who are some of the most influential student leaders at UMES. Guys, if you can, tell the audience your name, your major, where you're from, your official title on UMES campus as a student leader, and then also one funny thing about yourself.
Okay, my name is Aja Harris. I'm a criminal justice major, history minor. I'm a senior. I'm the Student Government Association president for the 2018-2019 academic year. And a funny thing about myself, I enjoy going on prison tours.
My name is Augustus Roberts. I'm the SGA sophomore class president at the illustrious University of Maryland Eastern Shore. My major is English with a criminal justice minor. I am from West Africa, but I currently reside in Prince George's County, Maryland. One funny thing about myself, I can rhyme anything with orange.
You say you can rhyme anything with orange, and I heard Eminem, the rapper, once say that on a 60 Minutes interview. Aj, I do have one question, though. Mm-hmm. So you said that you enjoy going on prison tours, and we don't normally hear that from most people. So why is that something you like?
On my 19th birthday, I decided I wanted to go on a prison tour instead of going out with friends. And that was my first time going on a prison tour. It's almost in the field that I want to go into, becoming an attorney. I want to see like where the people are headed once you decide they're going to be sentenced to life or 20 years or anything like that. So I think it gives me a well-rounded experience being able to go on tours and stuff like that.
Was there something that you experienced on your first tour that like totally caught you off guard just about the conditions in the prisons?
Well, the first prison I went to was the women's prison in Jessup. It wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be really scary. Only thing that really caught me off guard was like the solitary area. There were like some women who were like screaming at us, telling us the water was cold. Some ladies telling the tour that it was beyond scared straight. They were trying to like scare us, but it really wasn't that scary. I went on to the tour at ECI at the prison up the street, and that one was a little bit better, actually. It was almost like a college campus. It was the same type of setup. They have like a cafeteria. They have dorms. It's pretty cool.
Okay, interesting. All right, so I know you want to be an attorney. And Augustus, what do you want to be after you graduate?
I want to go to law school and do contract law and malpractice law.
Okay, cool. All right, so I wanted to have you guys here on this episode because, again, you all will be playing a significant role in terms of shaping the future direction of UMES as student government leaders. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that UMES is undergoing a period of transition. The university welcomed its 16th president, Dr. Heidi Anderson, this summer. How much interaction have you all had so far with the new president? And is there one thing that you would like to see her address this first year?
Dr. Anderson, I see her often. I sometimes eat lunch with her in the cafe. I stop by her office to discuss certain issues or just even ask her how her day is going. We have some of the most intricate conversations to like the direction of politics. So like of how the budget is being handled to, like, even certain things about how, like, her nail colors, like maroon and gray, just showing hawk pride on, like, the most simplistic levels. Like, okay. And she, I think she's a really, like, lovely personality, great breath of fresh air for who she is.
Okay.
I think Dr. Anderson is what the university needed. I think everyone is meant to be somewhere, and she's definitely meant to be here. She has the personality that encourages other students to want to be just as jolly as she is. And she has a lot of goals, and it's, you can see every time she speaks to students or speaks to faculty, speak to staff, or speak to even guest donors, things like that, she always speaks about her goals that she has for the university. And I wholeheartedly believe that she's going to fulfill every goal that she says. And what else?
Is there one goal in particular that you'd like to see her accomplish this first year?
I definitely think enrollment is really, really big. Enrollment kind of pushes the university in every direction. If there's low enrollment, student activities or student campus life can't do things. If there's low enrollment, dorms won't be open. If there's low enrollment, it's like a lot of departments on campus that will be affected if enrollment is low. So I definitely think that enrollment should be like the number one priority.
Okay. Augustus, what about you?
One thing I would like to see Dr. Anderson accomplish this year is addressing and further increasing unity amongst the student body and administrative level. Mm-hmm. Amongst the various departments, we all have the same mission, like to improve enrollment and make UMES the best UMES it can be, mm-hmm. ultimately, but just making sure that we're all on the same track with that, like understanding that whatever goals we may have, like we're whole purpose up here is to get an education and further us as a race better.
Yeah, right. And I was going to follow up with that. In terms of your goals as the SGA, I'm sure you all have a specific platform and, you know, things that you all want to accomplish this year. Mm-hmm. Are there two things that you all want to just mention briefly that you're working on?
Currently the sophomore class board is working on like more social events, but we'll address all around things such as like residence life issues, like where we live, even on and off campus. We even have certain things where like we're trying to improve more relations better with the CAF staff and just trying to understand like the food that we understand and where it comes from and all the logistics of it. One last thing, but most important, we're trying to improve career services attendance. We're trying to make sure we have a better perspective beyond just these walls of UMES, how it goes beyond just a degree and securing the bag.
Okay. Aja, anything you want to add?
SGA, we're working on giving students a voice, showing them that you don't really have to be an SGA to have a voice. That's kind of the platform that I believe everyone in SGA is kind of going on, is empowering the students to feel like your voice is heard and your voice and what your opinion is will be brought to the table. In the past, I believe that a lot of people had opinions, but their opinions just went as far as maybe Twitter or Instagram. And I feel like now it's, your opinion is coming directly to the sources, which is the officers of SGA, and we're actually taking those problems, issues to the people that needs to go to.
You know, Aja, you and I have some history together. You've taken multiple courses with me. In fact, I still remember the day that you told me during class you were going to be running for office. So I'm very, very proud of you right now.
Thanks.
To see how far you've come. At a time when many college students are more concerned with their likes on social media and turning up on weekends, what inspired you to take this leadership role and run for office?
Interesting. As a sophomore, backtrack, freshman year, I had a wonderful time at UMES. Every bit of it, I never wanted to go home. I told my mom to pick me up on the last day of finals, like the whole nine. I did not want to leave. Then sophomore year came around and the whole atmosphere changed drastically. I was kind of shocked. And that year is when I was like, okay, I'm running for president. That's it. I'm just going to run for president. But when it came down to it, I realized that I don't have the experience of SGA as of yet to just run for that big role, run for SGA president. So that semester, my second semester sophomore year, I decided I was going to run for University System of Maryland representative and gain some knowledge on other campuses and gain some knowledge on how they do things on their other campuses so I can bring it here and maybe bring some positivity, bring some different ways of looking at things to this campus. And then I decided, okay, I've have all my ducks in a row. I know some things that College Park does. I know some things that University of Baltimore does. I know some things that UMBC does. I can bring those things here to the table and make UMES, I don't like to use a slogan, but make UMES great again. And I was very adamant about it. I never in a million years saw myself becoming a SGA president or a class board. I never saw myself doing any leadership role ever. But I was so adamant and so angry in my room living in Artis my sophomore year that I was like, I have to take my anger to a positive place. I can't just keep joining the people on Twitter like, this sucks, da, da, da. So, yeah.
Okay. Augustus, what inspired you to run for office?
Honestly, I never did SGA before in my life until I got here. I've always considered myself an opportunist. When I got here, I seen a platform to actually have and to make impact on my class and make change just with the regular connections, because I am a people person. But it's recognizing, like, you're hearing different opinions and attitudes of people every day about blah, 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 what's going on with this. And you're like, huh, okay, how can I change that? It's just I seen the opportunity to actually impact and make change. Not just for the significance of becoming more likable or just the title of it, like actually putting in work behind the scenes and not necessarily, you know, the credit for it. But it has its perks. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, I knew being in SGA would have like a certain spotlight. You would get to know certain people, certain connections. And I've been grateful for all of it. Like going to galas with like civil rights icons, just off the connection of my strength with career services. Let's see, going to political activist HBCU night in Annapolis last semester, where we had to actually try to advocate for our HBCUs in Maryland, like Coppin, Bowie, Morgan State, and UMES. Learning more about the history of that, knowing people have walked through these walls before us, and there's a reason you can actually try to continue to make impact and change, not just be another person that goes in and out these walls. Like, I see an opportunity for it.
Great question. Great response. So I'm sure you all are familiar with Charles Barkley, the TV commentator. Now, you guys are both a little young. So there was a time back in the 80s, in the 90s, where Charles Barkley was one of the elite athletes in the NBA. Uh-huh. And he did this commercial with Nike, which was very controversial at the time. And basically in the commercial, Barkley says, "I'm not a role model." Right. Mm-hmm. Now, later, you know, at the end of the commercial, he says parents should be role models. You know, don't look to us as athletes, mm-hmm. as role models. But people had an issue with the commercial because, again, as an athlete and a public figure, mm-hmm. you're always in the spotlight. And people, rather you know, want it or not, kind of look to you and mm-hmm. they follow your lead. So you guys as student leaders, you know, and like you said, Augustus, you are in the spotlight right now. Mm-hmm. Do you all feel that you are role models for your peers, or do you want to just be treated as, you know, normal students and everyday millennials?
I definitely feel scrutinized on many different levels, but it's to an extent where I know it's a two-way street where I have to practice transparency with whatever I do. I make sure, like, I mean, anywhere I am, if it might be any actions that can be taken out of context, like there's no cameras, you know, sometimes just little stuff like that help prevent damage control. We don't have to try to keep a certain perception, like Charles Barkley said. Like, right. I don't gotta be nobody's role model, but at the same time, like, I gotta set the example and lead by example. It's no point in me trying to tell you, hey, stop by career services if I've been in my room playing 2K the whole day. Like, just trying to understand. Like, I personally try to keep a level of transparency. I'm nobody's specific role model, but I try to at least handle my business. And if you peep my ambition and my drive to get stuff done, I hope you can at least try to, like, that rubs off on me. That's part of my impact. As part of my position for you.
I think that it depends. If you are looking for the more radical way of going about things, bringing your complaints and stuff directly to the source instead of going through millions of people, then maybe I am a role model. But if you're into the chain of command, you're into letting the I don't even know what the saying is, letting things fall the way they fall, then no, I'm not the role model for you. I think that people would look at some things that I do as not traditional, and that will make them decipher whether or not I'm their role model or not. Whereas some people would be like, oh, I like the way she does things. It kind of happens, boom, boom, boom. Then I'll become a role model for them.
Does that put pressure on you when you go into the classroom? Because, again, you guys are the student leaders. Do you also feel like as students, if you're showing up to class late or you're, barely passing classes, you know, do you feel as though that reflects poorly on you?
Mm-hmm. I think it does.
At the end of the day, you got to handle your business. But I mean, I'm a college student. If I'm waking up at 8:50 for class that starts at 9, and I'm walking in, at least I'm still presentable and whatnot, but I'm here. Right. I'm a regular college student still trying to handle my business. You could look at me otherwise, but me and you are both trying to get the same degree and get the same high GPA. So, like, I mean, I understand it sometimes. I try to always stay on top of my stuff. But I do walk into class late. I sit down, try to catch up, play catch up. But it's having that connection to my platform where I would even ask my friend right beside me, hey, what did we do? And just play catch up with certain things like that. So, like, mm-hmm. I am trying to help to a model student. But once again, Charles Barkley said, I am not a role model to nobody's extent.
Aja, my question for you, how do you juggle everything in terms of class demands? Because mm-hmm. I know you have 5 or 6 classes at least. And on top of SGA demands, how do you, you know, manage your time throughout the week?
I pray. And okay. I ask that my professors be very lenient. What happens in administration, they don't really correlate with the student lifestyle. So a lot of times when I have class, then there's a meeting coming up. Or maybe when there's no class, there's no meetings. Like, it seems like it always collides. So I just kind of pray about it and hope that my teachers will be nice about the situation. But if not, I mean, I have to make the sacrifice.
Yeah, it's definitely a big commitment. But you guys seem to be handling it very well so far.
Yeah.
Okay. So right now, we are in the midst of election season. And over these next couple of years, there are going to be some very important elections throughout our nation to elect governors, congressmen, eventually a president. What are you all doing here on campus to promote voter registration, voter education? Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing?
Ooh, okay. So we were in the process of, for SGA, we were in the process of having a event or a week-long series of events called Hawk Vote. We're still working on it, so stay on the lookout for that. Okay. But in terms of, like, my other organizations, especially, like, my sorority, we've had voter education and registration seminars. A couple of my line sisters are trained to help people get registered to vote. So if you need help getting registered to vote, you can go to them. And, yeah, we had a voter education event yesterday with a professor from Salisbury, just pretty much discussing the importance of voting and who's really on the ballot in this area and things like that.
Okay. I'm bigger than SGA and everything I'm a part of. Like, not bigger than, but like, SGA does not fully define me in terms of, I'm also me, well, the brothers and I, a Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, Alpha Mu chapter, are launching an initiative next week. Go out and make a ballot. In terms of, we'll do a full-fledged push, knocking on people's doors next week, election day, just making sure that everybody, if you did register to vote, go out and make an impact, at least go to the nearest high school and go vote. Like, it was one thing for the Deltas to actually get people to get registered to vote, but the day of to actually impact and follow through with that. That's what we really need for people to actually get their voice heard. So that's what the Brothers of Fire, but it's the Brothers in Blue are doing.
Good job. Over the past 3 years, we've heard countless stories on the news about very harsh racial incidents and protests on campuses across the country. In fact, a few days ago in one of my classes, we were looking back at the 2015 student protests at the University of Missouri that involved one student, Jonathan Butler, going on a 4-day hunger strike, the football team sitting out a game which cost the university millions of dollars, and eventually the president of the university, Tim Wolf, being forced to resign. Do you think that your classmates at UMES, which is a HBCU, a historically black college and university, do you think that your classmates are not as socially conscious, or to use the popular term, woke, as they appears at predominantly white institutions like Missouri? Because they don't face that type of discrimination on a regular basis on campus.
To an extent, we recognize, even when we step off campus to go get our groceries, in the specific area of Princess Anne, Maryland, it's a lot of people that don't look like us. And not even looking like us, but just from different socioeconomic backgrounds. But for people to understand that not everyone is the same as you, people don't really, a lot of the stigmas around the people surrounding off campus, and sometimes people do experience racism. If you check the UMES hashtag, it's always different interactions, like when you're even out Salisbury, like just 15 minutes down the road. The sad fact is people take those instances and run with it and paints a certain perception upon how the local state police look at us and perceive us. So it's a kind of shortened perception of the real issues here on campus, and to the level of how some people are just doing their job, and to the level of how we are a target, and we are a target in this country completely. So it's not as it should be. We do try to host like different types of discussions. As SCA, we try to, you know, get people more aware of like the different jurisdictions in place. But certain things are an issue, but then some things are exaggerated, which people perceive. So we're definitely far from the woke quota.
Aja, you want to add anything?
I think that because this is an HBCU, we feel like we're more safe than we will be if you were on a campus that's a PWI. So I think that is probably why we don't see as much activity when it comes to the woke thing. But we do experience some of those same ills that the black students do experience on a PWI's campus. It's just not as big, I would say. And there's also a larger percentage of minority students or black students here than it is at a PWI. So we all kind of convene, talk about it, and let it go. Whereas at a PWI, they convene, talk about it, but they still have to live it every day. So they kind of want to be activists towards those different issues so that they can feel more comfortable where they decide to matriculate and get their education.
Have you all been involved in any types of town halls or activist activities taking place with the students over at Salisbury University or some of the other universities and colleges within the area or within the state as it relates to this topic?
I mean, I have met with the town commissioner personally, just to simply discuss issues and certain things that happen on campus and what can we do, mm-hmm. with my good friend, but just discussing those certain issues, not to a full extent, like as in attending a town hall, like not to that extent yet, but that is definitely still in our plans as part of the resolve.
What would you all say to someone in our listening audience who thinks that HBCUs, again, these historically black colleges that were founded after the Civil War, are now obsolete in 2018, that these types of schools contribute to our nation's racial divide by catering more towards students as well as faculty members of color? You know, like somebody could even say, hey, you know, you guys are in these fraternities and sororities that historically have not had many non-black members. So, you know, are these schools really helping people? Are they shaping students to go out and be a part of the real world, which is not fully black? What do you guys think about that?
The first word in HBCU historically is a representation of how we got to look deep into the main issue of why these HBCUs were created. Just the full impact of us knowing ourselves and knowing our true history, like literally growing up K through 12, my history book was filled with a white man's highlight reel of like what they did, where they conquered, and different aspects of how they continued to colonize us. And it was just sometimes built upon a fluff and sympathetic point of view with what they did to us, not even just during the Atlantic slave trade, but many other genocides as well. Just people being educated on more of it being more than just the Atlantic slave trade is what I believe HBCU still continues to serve its purpose to this day. Because every day we stray further and further away from the knowledge of who we are as a race and our own roots back to like Kayora empires, the Ghanaian empires, Ghanaian, the Moors, back to those empires where we truly recognize our own self-worth beyond just my black hair is beautiful. Like concrete things that recognize our own symbolism and worth in America, our race does not really know that. And it's simplified every day in terms of how even black people themselves say HBCUs do not serve a purpose.
I think HBCUs help black students, or any student, but black students especially, to learn themselves. I think it's important to realize that you are black first, whether you're a man, woman, transgender, or one of those people who don't want to explain what they are. You have to know that you're Black first. When you go out into the world, they're looking at your Black skin first. So when you know about yourself, it's easier for you to maneuver this world as a Black person once you realize who you are. And I think HBCUs teach you who you are before anything. They teach you how to be Black and what does it mean to be Black. That's why I chose to come to HBCU.
Yeah, my final question for you guys, why should I, if I'm a student in high school, and if you guys could just respond in 10 seconds each, why should I attend UMES? I could go anywhere in the country. Why should I go here? 10 seconds.
If you don't want to fit the certain mode or stigma of how every other HBCU runs their things, and you want to know how to make your own fun, come to UMES, get the right friend circle, and make an impact upon your degree and beyond.
If you want to have a different lifestyle coming from a city area and come to a rural area, UMES is definitely the place for you. You can create your own fun, like he said, and create your own experiences.
Okay. Well, again, thank you all so much for coming out. And we definitely look forward to seeing big things from you all this coming school year. And anything that you need, I'm definitely here to support you. All right. Before I sign off, I want to introduce a segment on the show called Parting Shots. Here's when I give my thoughts on something in the news, pop culture, or life in general that has piqued my interest. Unless you've been living under a rock for the past year, you're familiar with the name Kanye West. Before I continue, let me emphatically state that while I'm a fan of Kanye's music and sneakers, I don't support his recent views on politics and social issues. However, I do think many discussions that I'm hearing in regards to Kanye are way too simplistic. I think the cancel culture taking place in which we immediately shun Kanye as a crazy narcissist, a rambling idiot, or a sellout who's trapped in the metaphorical sunken place for out-of-touch, upwardly mobile African-Americans is just as dangerous as some of his more off-putting statements. With Kanye, there are many layers to the discussion that we often ignore. First of all, in 2005, Kanye graced the cover of Time magazine. He was called the smartest man of pop music. Rolling Stone magazine labeled him a genius in 2007, and in 2015, Time called him one of the 100 most influential people on the planet, praising him for his courage to take unpopular stands. He's received an honorary doctoral degree, spoken at Harvard University and Oxford, and has even had a college course dedicated to him at Washington University. In 2013, some of the nation's top Black scholars published a book titled The Cultural Impact of Kanye West. While some of those scholars did criticize him, there was considerable amount of praise for his social and political raps, as well as his views on race. While he upset many Blacks in 2013 by attempting to rebrand the meaning of the Confederate flag, which he is unsuccessfully trying to do right now with the MAGA hat, for the most part, he was forgiven due to his positive track record. I'm not sure how much his recent antics will hurt his overall popularity 10 years from now. The trials of his idol, Michael Jackson, initially caused him many fans. However, many of those fans eventually came back to Michael's corner years later. The one point from this Kanye situation that I take away as an educator is that it creates a space for several important discussions and dialogue on issues such as the historical role of African Americans in our political parties, the 13th Amendment and mass incarceration, slavery, self-love versus self-hatred, the importance of keeping history and social studies classes in our schools, mental health awareness, the persistence of minstrelsy in the media, W.E.B. Du Bois' double conscious theory, and questions of what responsibility do not only Black celebrities, but all successful Black Americans have to promote platforms that are supported by and favorable to the masses within the Black community. That's our show for the week. Thanks again to our guests. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. Like us on Facebook. Special shout out to Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv. Have a blessed day, everyone.